the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Richard Fordyce. Richard is administrator for the Farm Service Agency at USDA in Washington, D.C. And Richard, great to see you.
Tony, it's great to see you as well.
Well, let's see. We talk about June and can easily think of things like summertime, school's out, things must slow down, except at USDA.
I think that's a very good description. Things do not seem to slow down at USDA. And we are, we're just right on the verge of sign up for our dairy margin coverage program.
Well, since we're talking the program, that's actually a good question. I mean, what do we know about the program at this point, and what can you share?
So sign-up's going to begin June 17th, and we've worked really diligently to make sure that the Dairy Margin Coverage Program was the first program under the 2018 Farm Bill that we were able to roll out. It was the Secretary's desire, our Undersecretary Bill Northey and myself, to make sure that Dairy Margin Coverage Program would be the first one rolled out the door in the ability for producers to participate. So June 17th will be the sign-up date. We've been working very hard. We've had our national training where we brought in folks from every state to understand the program, and a whole week of intensive training to be able to go back to their own states and do training with all of the county office people that will engage with our farmers. That's pretty much completed across the country, we think. And we're going to be certainly ready on Monday, December 17th, for producers to come in and initiate sign-up.
So when we talk about this program, it's important to note this is not the same program from the past Farm Bill.
Right, it isn't. The Margin Protection Program for dairy was in the 2014 Farm Bill. And right out of the gate, it just wasn't accomplishing the things, I think, that the authors thought that it would. And so there were some changes to the Margin Protection Program in the Bipartisan Budget Act in February of 2018, and addressed some of the issues. But in drafting the new Farm Bill, it was a very high priority of folks to get it right and get it corrected. Really two of the major components of the change are an addition to the benefits. So the margin coverages are higher and premiums are lower. So I think, talking to dairy producers across the country, when they look at the language that's in this bill and how this program is different from MPP, I think most folks are very pleased with what Congress did to change the program.
And retroactive as well, big deal.
Right, it is. So we figure the margin each month, and so when producers come in on the 17th of June to make their election, so what coverage level do they want to insure at what percentage? They will know retroactive back to January what those margins are, and then that kind of helps them make a decision as to which coverage level to insure at. We also have worked in partnership with the University of Wisconsin to work on a decision support tool. So producers can go in, and this decision support tool is live, go in and plug in their own production numbers and use different scenarios to see what election would be the correct one for them. And so I think we've got it. In a place right now where producers ought to be able to make the right decision specific to their operation.
And let's talk about another program that you're rolling out. And this one is new as well, though you've done something similar last year, and that's the Market Facilitation Program announced earlier by the Secretary, MFP 2019. Where are we on that?
So lots of still some decisions to be made, I think, as it relates to MFP. I guess we're calling it MFP 2.0. The payments will be specific to a county. A lot of things will go into those decisions as to what that payment rate will be. Again, some of those decisions still aren't, I don't think, completely finalized, but producers ought to think about seeing producers that participate ought to think about maybe seeing an initial payment late July, early August. And so, again, still some work to do on MFP 2.0. So I would just – I would have – my advice to producers would be kind of stay tuned as more information comes out related to MFP second version. And because I know there'll be more that comes out, you know, in the days ahead and weeks ahead as we really nail down some of those final decisions.
Finding anything where everybody's happy is probably impossible, but when you look back at the MFP program from 2018, did it accomplish in most of the areas and many of the areas and some of the areas what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I think so. I think you know, I think the intent of the president and the secretary, you know, was to put some meaningful dollars in folks' pockets that were affected by retaliatory tariffs. And I believe that we did that under the MFP, the initial MFP program. And I know that's the intent with the second program, is to do something very similar. You know, it provides a bridge for producers so that we have a little bit more time to finalize some of these trade deals and get back what kind of where we need to be from a trade relationship with some of our partners. And you know, and again, that would be the motivation that we would look at from to put this program together. So I do believe that MFP 1 accomplished what was set out as the goal.
And we talk about these programs, and you mentioned it earlier, the work going into training the county offices. What else is going on at the county level, and are is your staff at that level running near peak performance? I mean, are they running red line right now?
You know, I mean, we certainly have plenty to do within the agency. And, you know, we just literally have amazing people across the country that work in those county offices that serve America's farmers and ranchers and forest stewards. But, you know, we've got a lot to do. You know, I think... you know, we're coming up on, you know, more activity around acreage reporting. You know, obviously the MFP program that's probably right around the corner for sign up. Again, not really sure when we'll begin that, but, lots of things going on. You know, we just visited about the dairy margin coverage program in certain states and certain counties. That's going to be a huge workload, for our staff, but you know, they are so passionate and so dedicated to the industry. We'll get it done. We'll get it done with the folks we have.
Final question for you. Just looking at throughout the remainder of 2019, anything else that you see, maybe not on the front burner, but coming to the front burner?
Well, you know, I don't know what ultimately the disaster bill, you know, that Congress passed last week, what that's going to look like from our perspective. But I was in the Midwest and actually the Mid-South last week. Certainly, you know, a lot of our friends in the ag industry are hurting due to just enormous amounts of flooding, whether it's the Mississippi River, the Missouri River, you know, other rivers across kind of the Midwest and the Mid-South. That, you know, those producers, you know, if it's got water on it today, it's probably not going to get planted. And so, you know, certainly our heart goes out to them and the decisions that are, you know, in front of them in the next few weeks and really what happens, you know, next year after the water goes off some of this land. It's very impactful. And I don't know what engagement or whatnot we'll have from our agency's perspective related to that. But certainly, it's really honestly heart-wrenching to see that number of acres covered up with water and what those producers are going to be dealing with for the next year.
It's always good to see you. Thanks for your work here and for what you've been doing for ag and what's still ahead. Wish you the best.
Thanks, Tony.
Richard Fordyce is the administrator for the Farm Service Agency at USDA in Washington, D.C. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.